Hey, I'm Dean.
And I'm Derek, and welcome to Under Your Roof.
And In Your Backyard.
With Dean and Derek.
You always have to do the Dean and Derek.
Well, I mean, it's because, you know why? It's part of our email address. It's part of our Facebook. You know, people might be looking for Under Your Roof and In Your Backyard and for our webpage, but it's not. It's Dean and Derek.
By the way, I was on LinkedIn.
You actually listened to me.
I
right
did.
There. I saw that.
No, but that just hit me.
Right.
I was on LinkedIn.
Oh, no.
And I found this woman.
I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say. I found her, too.
I didn't know we could open a Dean and Derek page on
LinkedIn.
Should
we say her name?
I don't remember her name. But there was some woman on LinkedIn that says she was a producer for DIY Network.
Yeah.
And she was partners with Dean and Derek, Inc.
Yeah. She's a liar.
Do you have a girlfriend?
No.
Do you have one of those boiling rabbits type of women that you had a little bump
Why
in the
is
road
it me?
With? Because
Why is
I
it
wouldn't
me?
Be that dumb. Yeah.
You know that all my fans are over 80 and have no teeth. There's
but
nothing
what,
wrong
wasn't
with that.
Wasn't that a little weird?
That was odd. That was really
no photo with her thing.
No. LinkedIn is one of the best places to be, but there's still odd people out there.
Yeah, that was a little odd.
That's a little odd.
But anyway, hey, if you want to contact us at deanandderek.com.
And our Facebook is Dean and Derek, and you will see visuals and photos of what we're talking about today. And so what we're going
to... And if you boil rabbits, don't contact us at deanandderek.com.
Lord,
if you're a fatal attraction, which, first of all, you really have to be mentally... challenge.
Okay, can we get to
if
the
you're
subject?
You're fatally attracted to either one of us, okay? Let's just be honest. If somebody's like a little obsessed with us, you're really off, and you should be institutionalized. So
especially
I want to get that out.
You.
Okay.
Especially
But
you.
I'm very excited about today's show because today's show
yes, Dean.
Is totally different.
It is very different. Today, we're going to be talking about living walls. We're going to be talking about interior landscaping. And we have a wonderful guest on today, Jan Goodman from Cityscapes.
She's awesome. She's talented.
She's passionate.
She has energy.
Yeah. Yeah, she really does. And her company has been winning awards for years and years and years.
She's built a heck of a business.
I saw her work long before I knew her. I didn't even know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like when you go into South Station or you go into, the Boston Public Library or some of these other accounts that she has. You know, folks, when you walk into a hotel lobby and there's trees and it's just like this lush kind of, you see it in Vegas all the time. You know, someone has to design that. Someone has to install that. Someone has to think about the lighting and the hydration and the watering and all that. Jan is She's just a wealth of knowledge.
So you're telling me that we're talking about big commercial things?
You can.
But I can do this stuff at my house?
You can do this at your house. You can do this in urban settings. You can do the
inside and out?
Do you really, Dean, when you saw your first living wall, what'd you think?
I got emotional.
You did get emotional.
I did.
You want one right next to the pizza oven.
I touched my feminine side. Because my head was thinking, too, it's like, how cool is this if you lived, like, back when I lived in New York City and stuff, if you had something like this on your roof, because I love to cook and you had a rooftop.
I'm ready to blow your mind. There are living walls that are stories high on the exteriors of buildings and cities.
I think it's awesome.
It's incredible.
My first thought, though, and I know you can't do this.
What?
Because you know I love wine. Mm. How cool would it be to
grow
wine
grapes?
But that won't happen. I know you can't do that.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, listen, we're going to bring Jan in. And she's just a ball of fire, that one. You know what the problem with this is going to be? Is that when Jan comes on, you better be prepared.
Oh, yeah. We're going to
put
look
on
like
your
idiots.
Boots. Put on
we're
your boots.
We're going to look like idiots.
So
going to take over the show.
Jan, we got you?
I'm right here.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. How are you guys?
We're
Hi,
good.
Jan.
We're good. Thanks for coming on. All right. Listen, we have a lot of questions for you, but Jan.
First of all, let Jan introduce her company.
All right, Jan, introduce your company.
Oh, well, my company has been in business 26 years. We're Cityscapes in Boston. And guess what we do? Ask me what we do, Dean and Derek.
What do you do?
What do you do?
We transform people's lives with the power of plants.
See? See, I love that.
Boom.
Jan, you know what? I'm having a little marital problem lately. You think a couple of living walls will change my marriage?
Well, you know what? Coming from a self-proclaimed biophiliac, it couldn't hurt. Do you guys know what that means?
No, but I like it. I like whatever it means. I like it.
It sounds not appropriate, but it's not a bad thing.
What's a biophiliac? Go ahead.
Well, I coined the term, I think. Biophilia is the innate emotional human connection to nature. So for practically all of the existence of human life, we've been in the woods and in nature. So when we started urbanization, how many years ago? A couple hundred, maybe.
Yeah.
We've been stuck in cities. Why do you think there's so much stress, murder, like crime? Because we're taken out of nature. So my job is to put nature back, you know,
I totally agree with
you're
that.
You're absolutely
when I was living in New York City, yeah. I was a little angry.
You were.
If I had a living wall, maybe not so much.
Oh, you'd be a biophiliac too.
There you go. And back then I could be a biophiliac because I was single.
Exactly.
So a biophiliac goes both ways.
Exactly.
Is that what it does? All right, listen, Jen, explain for our listeners out there what a living wall is.
So there's many types of living walls. Living walls can be something as simple as vines growing up a wall. But the living walls that we do are structures that go on walls that can go inside buildings, outside buildings. They can grow food. And I heard you talking about growing grapes. We are actually connecting with people and growing. They can grow vegetables on walls.
That's
they're
incredible.
Actually, to tell you the truth, they're growing cannabis on walls, two stories high, inside warehouses. So there's everything you can imagine that they're growing in the walls.
Yep. I think that really interests Dean and Tony. I think both of them want that type of living wall right
well,
now.
Well, it's medicinal, though, people. This is not recreational. It's medicinal.
Medicinal. So, Jim, when you talk about, like, what's the structure of the wall? What's that wall made out of before?
Okay, so before, you can virtually put it on sheetrock, making sure you know where the studs are for the brackets of the panels. It can go on brick walls, concrete. It's just the hardware that you put on any type of, like, you know, and knowing which system you use, your pounds per square foot, that what the wall can handle.
Right.
But you can put brackets.
So you also need some kind of moisture barrier if you're doing it on a structure, right?
Well,
you want to make sure.
No, but it's all
the
contained.
The brick and concrete is fine, but if you're doing it on a outside structure that you have up against your house, you probably want some kind of moisture barrier, right?
Well, it's all contained, isn't it, Jen?
You're right. Yes,
it's contained within the wall itself. So, like, is the wall made out of plastic?
There are some versions that are plastic. Our wall of choice is a recycled aluminum made in the USA, people.
That's awesome.
There you go. Like that, Jen. I like
stainless
that.
Stainless steel.
Yep.
If you're going to do some food production, then you'd use a stainless steel because aluminum isn't good for growing plants because of the aluminum that could be leached into the plant.
She's got it down.
She does have it down.
Seriously, this is very interesting.
There's a lot of science behind
this.
But I just want to get to that bare wall so people can get the visual. And we'll get a visual up on our Facebook page on that as well. But the bare wall is made out of either plastic or aluminum, correct?
So the living wall panels themselves.
Yep.
They can be plastic. There's literally so many living wall companies out there, you'd be shocked in the last 10 years since we started doing it.
It's exploded,
But it's exploded. Like, we're getting phone calls and emails every single day to put up walls. So that being said, the wall of choice that we like is an easy plug-and-play system. It's basically little small pots that go in trays that, you know, can have irrigation or not. It can be really simple. We have some for residences, and we've done some in little beauty salons and residences. That's just a little, like, picture frame, basically, with maybe 30 little plants.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's on our website that you can just stick the plants in. I have one in my house. You can do it in small apartments. You can do it in large houses.
Awesome.
We have some residences
awesome.
Downtown Boston that have maybe like a 6-foot by 5-foot wall. And it's not, because it was an afterthought. And so we really couldn't get the water or drain line to it. It was that small that it could be basically just hand watered super easy.
Sure.
So, Jan, for let's start off with just a regular homeowner who loves plants. It lives in like New York City or Boston and wanted to do something like that. And they were on a budget. Could they do this themselves? Was there a big education part of this on understanding which plants and how to do the plants with the irrigation? Is it something they could do on their own?
There's, you know, if you Pinterest or Instagram anything and Google, there are DIY versions of walls. You know, some of them with, you know, can be complicated and a little messy. The tray system is pretty easy because, like I said, they're all self-contained plants. And if anything dies, you just replace the plant with another little 4-inch plant.
Right.
Or depending. But, you know, there are DIY books everywhere, too, on how to make one with, you've probably seen it, Home Depot or Lowe's, one of those places has a thing that they make them outdoors with pallets.
Right.
You know, it's all because we do corporate work and we can't have anything that could possibly drip or any of that. But, you know, there are systems in that they can just buy and hang it on a wall and just put some plants in. And, you know, picking the right plants, low light plants, depending on what kind of lighting, is important also, too.
Right.
Okay, so now we're going to the next level and we say we're hiring you.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
So with that, do you come in and like we, when we design, whether it's inside or out,
we consult,
we get to know the people, the style of their, does the style of my home, will it vary on the wall I have? If I have a contemporary house or I have an old farmhouse, is there those design things that go into this?
Oh, 100%, because we're dealing with different properties and different places every day. Sometimes you want a nice reclaimed wood framed wall.
Oh my gosh, then
sometimes, like, you could build the frame. You know, I have a local juice station up the road from me that I love, and they're like, I want a living wall. I'm like, all right, well, I'll give you a couple panels, and the husband, you know, the owner's husband is just going to do the frame. I'm going to stick a couple panels and put in some plants. Or you can do stainless steel or powder coated, like, a, you know, any color. You can do a pink wall.
So
you
can see the word pink there, Dean? She likes the color pink.
Good for you, Derek.
But you know what, Jen? So you're saying that you can customize the wall to your taste, right, and your architecture, and then you put the plants in that.
Yes, and also you can design with the plants.
Right.
So I've done people's logos on large scales.
That's what I was going to say.
I've seen that. I've seen that. You know, Jen, I remember walking in through some of your jobs about, what, 2 or 3 years ago when you and I were visiting in Boston. You said, come on, I want to show you some of the work. And I'll never forget, I walked into the lobby and it was that design you had. It must have been, the lobby I think was about 3 stories high, and it had a drip line in the middle, like the water dripping down in the middle,
yes.
Right? And you had living walls that were at least a story high on the brick,
really?
The brick walls, right? Am I right? You know?
Yeah, so there's the Prudential wall is a story. It's 2 stories up, and it's a story high and 30 feet across.
It's insane.
So I mean, there's some huge ones. And there's irrigation lines, just like exterior irrigation that you guys do. You put a line at the top, a line in the middle, and a main line down the side. And it runs just like an irrigation system. You turn it on, it drips into these pans. It stops at a certain level and drips to the next pan.
All right, so let's talk about that irrigation for a second. You know me, I'm a nuts and bolts guy. So there needs to be, on that type of a wall, electricity, correct?
Nope.
No?
No electricity, no. Because you can do, irrigation doesn't need electricity. You can get a battery-operated timer. If it's that big of a wall, you need
okay.
a timer.
So that way it pumps the water, because you fill the basin at the bottom, correct?
Nope.
No. Wow. See, I'm trying to figure out how this works.
Well,
so
obviously you're not doing a good job.
I'm not doing a good job.
Because you're not letting her speak.
All right. Go ahead, Jen. Go ahead. How does irrigation?
So there's some walls that will take a basin and recirculate the water.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
But if it's a really sophisticated system, because you have to make sure that it's cleaned and before it goes back up.
Okay.
And because it could take pathogen, you know, what if say there's a disease in one plant and it'll spread through the whole wall.
Wow, there you go.
Circulating the yucky water. So the system with the plug and play, which is so easy, is that it's a zero wastewater system where it just waters it enough to sit there. Unfortunately, there's a lot of, you know, hydroponic systems that work, but they waste a lot of water. I'm not a big proponent because we're very sustainable,
right,
that you just keep pumping water and chemicals through a wall. I'm not into that. I hate to say it. Is that I'm not really into the hydroponic because of the fact that you are wasting water and there's chemicals going into the, you know, drainage systems. It's just not a sustainable thing.
No, yeah, smart point. Yeah, very good.
Yeah. And so what we're doing now is more, you know, in New England, how brutally cold it is.
Yes.
We are now, you know, have helped research and develop the system for outside, where it used to be soil-based, but it never would last the winter, or maybe only 2 winters, because you know how the freeze and thaw factor happens.
It's a killer.
Well, yeah, so what we're doing is we're doing 6-inch and 1-gallon pot systems, like the one at Liberty Mutual. It's huge. We have 20-foot, three-dimensional, freestanding walls. They're massive. And it's just 1-gallon pots.
Wow.
And if something dies, you take it out, you put in a new one. And it there, and you could do that in your backyard. That's what I'm done in, you know, the system that we did a long time ago
in
my backyard was soil-based, if you guys remember.
I do remember that, yeah.
Well, I took that down, and we were replacing it with the plug-and-play so that, because then every year I wouldn't have to replant my cucumber. You know, I'd have grow vegetables and herbs in it.
Right, right.
So replanting this that every year got to be very cumbersome. So what, you know, was easier is just pop in some plants in, and when they're gone, they're, you know, at the end of the season, you just keep picking the herbs. Like you were talking about grapes. Well, what about the mint for the mojitos? You can grow mint in that.
And you're a mojito girl. I'm sure you are, Jan.
Yeah.
Sure
Jan, have you worked with manufacturers and developed your own product? Are you at that stage yet?
Yes, we are. That's who I've been working with, Green Living Technologies, for years. We've helped develop this plug-and-play system.
That's incredible.
So you're going around the country with the product that you have.
We've done Walls for Fidelity in San Francisco, Pete's Coffee in Chicago, Washington. And guess what our latest one is? Just got off a conference call, baby.
What?
And the Red Sox are going to be jealous, but we're going to Minnesota to the Twins Target Field and put up a 95-foot wall.
That's amazing.
You're going to Minnesota? Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Oh, that's awesome. Good for you, Jim.
You're gonna have to deal with some cold there.
Listen, we got to pick your brain a little more about some other things because you are a wealth of knowledge. So if you were going to – the Living Wall, get it. And we're going to – when people see – folks, when you see the pictures of these Living Walls, your mind is going to blow up.
It's hard to explain.
It is hard to explain it. But you know what? When you see it, you're like, oh, my gosh, it's endless, Jan, what you can do with that, correct?
Yeah.
Endless.
It's the colors, the plant types, everything.
So have we talked to her – I know I'm going off subject. Have we talked to her about doing one of the outdoor displays with us?
Yeah, we want to do a Living Wall next to the pizza oven.
Yeah.
Hello.
Why didn't you tell me that?
I did. You forgot. Anyway, the question I had for you, Jan, is you're talking about Living Walls being inside or outside, and that's one of the focuses of this show here. Also, what when it comes to interior plants, what are some of the mistakes that a lot of people make?
You totally took my question.
Oh, stop.
So, you know, way before 25 years ago when I was just watering plants, or 30 years ago, I'm dating myself, I go into people's office. I have this plant at home, they'd ask.
Yep.
And I'm like, what's it look like? They're like, well, it's green and it has leaves. I'm like, yeah, that's great. Cause they all do. So can you give me some more details? So basically most people at home over love their plants. They over water their plants. They think their plants need water every week. My suggestion in a nutshell.
Oh,
yeah. Shoot. In a nutshell.
Jen, did you cut her off?
Leave us hanging.
Oh, there she is. Jan, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
We lost you at in nutshell. A nutshell.
We lost you at nutshell.
Oh, you're kidding.
I know.
Totally. So you got to remember what you said.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm so sorry. In a nutshell, people overwater their plants because they love them so much at home. They overwater them. So,
and that's why I was a 400-pound fat kid, because my parents and grandmother loved me so much they overfed me.
Yes, exactly. So you need to pick one day a week to check your plants. That doesn't mean you water your plants every week.
Got it.
Plants don't need to be saturated. They need to dry down a little bit because it makes the roots stronger. If you keep those roots wet all the time, they start to rot. So you always just stick your finger in the plant. Get some biophilia in there. Feel the soil, man, you know? And get back to Mother Nature.
You know what, though, Jan? You're absolutely right. Because this year with my garden, my tomatoes and stuff, I didn't water as much, and I got so many more tomatoes than I did in the years past.
Oh, see? There was probably less blight. There was probably... So interior-wise, you should always check the tag. And, you know, put it in the appropriate lighting, you know, don't put it like a high light ficus tree in a low light area. There's a lot of like really easy snake plants, you know, they call them mother-in-law's tongues. and you know what? It's funny how stuff comes around, goes around. I've been doing this so long. All the old school plants are coming back. It's killing me. Like
really?
The rubber plant and the spider plant and the hanging macrame pots and I was like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
Yeah, it's hot. You look at IKEA and you look at Crate and Barrel and Pier 1. They have all that mid-century modern look, which goes back to that you know, lots of plants, interior, yep. lots
so
of plants.
There's a huge amount of design in your projects then, Jen. It's not, I mean, a novice could play around with it and things like that. But for what you're talking about for corporations or, you know, even high-end homes, there's a lot of work and a lot of years of experience that has to be done to do it right, right? Someone can't just pick it up and I'm a landscaper, now I'm doing live walls.
No.
Well, the live walls, they're another animal. I was the first, in, you know, in 2000, before 2008, I saw them in Europe. So I decided, wow, these are going to be big someday. And I got to tell you, it took a long time and a lot of trial and error and a lot
it
of
did.
Lost money.
It did for you, yeah. Yeah.
It did, but you know what? We know what to do, and we know we've worked with different systems and what works best. But for, you know, for the homeowner, it's something that you know, they can see that's what Pinterest's all about. That's what Instagram, they can see some designs. A lot more people, even the Home Depots and the Lowe's of the world or plant shops or floor or landscapers, they have the product now. It's just, you got to put the right place, the right plant in the right place,
right?
Light
yeah.
levels.
Right.
And make sure that you have drainage. A lot of people like to direct plant into a pot and have no drainage. That's not good. They have nowhere for any extra water to go.
Yep.
So so there's a lot of little details. But yeah, we work on design is our thing. That's what we do. I planning on a big trip to Europe, Amsterdam, the Netherlands, all that stuff to find the newest trends.
Nice.
In fact, yeah, our next big launch.
Do you think we can come? Can we come with you?
Yeah, let's do this.
I think we need to go to Iceland.
Yeah,
I hear Iceland's the place to go.
It's not as cold as I heard.
Oh, there you go. I say we come because I want to learn about these plants and get back into Mother Nature. But I do have another question for you about urban living, okay?
Okay.
So, all right, people that own apartments, they own condos, they live with balconies, all that. What's your advice for people trying to introduce plants either outside or inside in these type of apartments? What I mean is it better to go potted? Is it better to go with a living wall? I mean, what are their options within that?
Well, okay, so let's say you have balcony planters. Outside, there's a lot of like nice little tall, thin containers or very low profile, thinner, rectangular, you know, freestanding pots.
Yep.
And you plant some herbs and some, like if you like to, you know, basil or mint for your mojitos, don't forget about those. or just some nice, bright, pretty flowers for your deck.
Yeah,
you know, there's
right.
a plethora of different containers that you can use for outside. Then you come inside. It all depends on your space. You know, if you can do some nice potted plants, and again, make sure that you're picking the right variety, and, you know, carefully looking at the plant before you buy it and make sure there are no pests on it. The last thing you want to deal with is spraying down a plant that has, you know, some type of bugs on it.
How
or
do you
any
know?
Of that.
How do you know there's a pest on it? Aren't there some of them really small? Like, what's give us a
yeah,
tip on
they
that?
Are.
Yeah,
you gotta have the trained eye, like you know. But no, but you can just look under the leaf.
Yep.
Look to see if there's any. The cottony stuff is called mealybug. If you see that, don't buy that plant.
Oh, okay.
That's nasty. If there's anything, you know, scale, which is a hard shell, looks like little hard shell bumps on it. That you don't want that plant. And then, spider mite's probably the harder one to tell. If you see anything that has any type of webbing, that's definitely something you don't want to buy.
Is there anything you can do, like make a formula or a solution that can clean those up? What would you do?
Super easy for a home remedy. I use it all the time. We are all organic, so all you need to do is take a spray bottle, fill it mostly with water, put a little spritz of either, you know, the Coco Castile soap, or even like a spritz of ivory with a capful or two of alcohol. And
really?
Just spray down the plant and wipe it down. Don't put too much alcohol in it, but just a little like ivory detergent with some alcohol that can just, you gotta just keep the plant clean, wipe it down with paper towels. Super easy.
You know what, Jen, that I'm getting the feeling just listening to you talk? I think your business hasn't even hit its peak yet. This is like the type of business that's ready to explode.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's already, we're growing.
All right, listen, I do have a question for you, and this is a dumb question. I know this is a dumb question.
It's Derek, by the way, who's speaking right now.
No question's a dumb question.
No, it's Derek.
Thank you, Jan.
Derek's going to come up.
Jan, thank you for supporting me, Jan. Thank you. Listen, I hear that plants inside your house can clean the air. Is that true?
Oh, my God. That is the, it's not, it, that's been proven back to in the
Seriously?
1980s. I met Dr. Wolverton from NASA. NASA did a study 30 years ago on, they proved indoor plants clean the air. You know what they did? They took a common peace lily plant. Did you ever see those with the white flowers?
Oh, yeah.
Green leaves,
yeah, yeah.
Stuck it in a chamber, a completely, you know, closed chamber, and injected formaldehydes and benzenes, all the stuff you find in either home air, it's indoor air pollutants. They're called VOCs, volatile organic compounds, stuff that you find inside indoor air pollution, basically. And within a 24-hour period, those plants, that plant cleaned the air.
Wow.
So it's been proven back 30-something years. In fact,
wow.
My industry did a study, proved how much carbon the plants take out of the air.
That's
so
fascinating.
And it feeds it.
Wow.
So you take out the VOCs, it eats it up like food, turns it into sugars for the plant to eat, and it produces oxygen. It's the basic, you know.
So, Jan, by the way, that was Dean who asked that last question.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, I knew it. It was very smart.
Are there any particular plants that clean the air better than others?
A lot of people ask that. I think, you know what, the studies that we've seen a lot more, the woodier plants, like the trees, like the ficus trees, say that they, because they're older, that they can take more toxins out of the air. But any house plant can. They actually have a formula. If you have a house plant, every 300 square feet is a recommended, you know.
That is so cool. Wait a minute.
There's a lot of studies.
That's all? Only one plant every 300 square feet?
That can help clean the air. Yeah, correct.
I would.
There's a lot of studies. You should see the new ones coming out.
Wow.
We actually had a $30,000 instrument that clamped onto the plant leaf that would measure how much carbon it was taking out of the air. It's crazy, crazy studies.
You
that
guys,
awesome.
You guys,
we've gone to a whole other level.
No, wait a minute. You guys are like a subculture. This is like a whole. This is a different world, right?
This is a different world.
Yeah, it's a totally
it
different
people
world.
People happy, though. That's the biggest thing. We tried to prove the science that plants should be in offices because of the clean air, and they're like, well, you know, blah, 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 you know, the green building.
Hey, let me ask you a question, because you've done huge corporations, offices, and all that. Have any of these corporations gotten back to you, said, you know what, ever since you did the live walls, my secretary's not fighting with, you know.
They're so happy now.
Yeah, have you? Because I think I could use this in my Italian family. I think we could use a lot of live walls.
You know, make them happier, less stressed, maybe they'll stop yelling. So basically, Harvard has the environmental and health, you know, science department have, we are working with them, we gave them some freestanding living walls to do tests on how the happiness factor, the well-being factor, that we're working with them on how much they can measure by having these walls in a certain space. They're going to be measuring their blood pressure and their, you know, their cortisol levels and all that. So the science is being proven every single day how important it is to have these plants. But I got to tell you, the testimonials, if you look at some of the testimonials that we've gotten, oh my gosh, since you guys brought the plants in, people are walking in, they're just seeing like, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful, we're so much happy, we love our plants. So
you should do live walls in prisons.
You know what,
that's not a joke, but I'm thinking, remember back in the day they started painting prison cells pink, thinking that, you know, you take a guy who's a murderer and you paint a cell pink, all of a sudden he's going to turn into Richard Simmons or something.
No.
But now I'm thinking about like live walls in prisons, thinking about it, the most terrible atmosphere.
Yes.
You know,
it's
I wonder if that would be a cool study.
Listen, when you get arrested, we'll make sure there's a plant in your cell.
Exactly.
How's that? Hey, listen.
So you know what? You should Google horticulture therapy in prisons. They're doing it.
Really?
They have gardens in prisons, like as a part of a therapy process. And those guys that come out after that are going back into society with jobs in horticulture or whatever it is.
That is
and
very cool.
Yeah, you should Google it. It's fascinating. Same with the schools.
Yeah.
Same with
I bet.
And we work with the kids
who
have never touched soil in their lives because they live in the city.
Right.
And once they do that and they start getting into these programs, their grades are going up. They don't get into trouble. The studies that prove that. Amazing.
You know, Jan, you would be a great guest. Derek and I work with one of the Votech schools here. I think these younger kids,
they need
she
to,
would
yeah.
be a great great.
You need
guest.
To come in. By the way, I just want to give you a plug if anyone just is tuning in right now. Folks, we're talking to Jan Goodman from Cityscapes of Boston. She owns her company and she does interior landscaping, living walls, exterior landscaping. Her knowledge on plants is unbelievable. All right, listen, Jan, I do have another question for you. What?
She could go like on two shows.
Well,
this stuff is.
This is she might replace you.
All kinds of stuff. We haven't even touched this is the brink of the iceberg.
Jan, what do you think of Jan and Derek? What do you think of that? Huh?
Jan and Derek show? What about Dean? You're being
no,
replaced.
No, that's okay. You know what I would call it? I would call it a short show.
Just because she's my height, leave her alone. Listen, Jan, tell me, what is one of your favorite plants?
Oh, God.
I know, right? Yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
Give me the top three.
That's like asking her a favorite child.
Give me your top three. Well, I know her
favorite. Okay, so interior, exterior.
Let's go interior.
Oh, crap.
she can't speak.
Sorry, did I say something bad? Sorry. Yeah.
That's good.
Are you kidding? There's thousands.
God. Okay.
I like a Fatsia japonica.
What is that?
It's a Fatsia japonica. Oh, you know what? Wait a minute.
Fatsia japonica.
It's my favorite plant too. I like a Fatsia japonica.
I'll give you the Latin name, but I like Balfour Aurelias. So want to hear the Latin name? Polycycus fruticosa or Balfouriana. Oh yeah.
Did you go to school for this stuff or did you
yes,
just
I did.
Yeah, because my head is spinning.
Where'd you go to school, Jan?
I went to UNH for horticultural technology and landscape design.
Oh, that's where my son goes.
Oh, UNH.
Yes, that's where he is. He's a wildcat.
You might want to check in him to Betty Ford later.
It's true. It's very true.
It's a good
school.
It is a
party
school.
It's a great school, though. What a great landscape horticulture.
So have you gone back to school and talked have you gone back to UNH?
Yeah.
You've done
I've
talks?
Asked, but you know what? I just spoke at URI.
Nice.
And for their landscape architecture class, and actually two or three of their interns worked for us over the summer, and I think one is still with us. It's like I talk to schools all the time.
Yeah.
I do continuing education point, credits
you need
and
to.
Stuff for
yeah, you
architects
need-
and all that, but we work with homeless shelters. One right here in Dorchester, and we do like little gardens in the back. We teach the kids how to plant, and we do planted projects once a month with them.
That's
so,
fantastic, Jan.
Yeah, always working with schools.
You are so dedicated to that education and reaching out to the community and all that. I've always been impressed by you and your company that way. It's something that a lot of companies don't do.
Well, we're gonna get. Next week, we're being honored with the Next Century Award from AIM, which is a associate. I don't even know. It's some corporation that works with a lot of, HR companies in Boston. But we're right next to State Street Bank and Eversource, and it's pretty exciting.
That's awesome. That's great stuff. So then, Jan, by the way, we have a tour of coming up on Monday. We have students, the grad students from the landscape architecture program at RISD out of Rhode Island coming in.
Where?
Say that again.
Where are they going?
They're coming to Plymouth Quarries. They want to see the quarry. They want to see the work that we're doing. I can't wait to get you connected to them.
Oh my gosh, they could come into Boston. We can give them a living wall tour.
Yeah.
Exteriors as well, but
I'll get you connected to the professor on that. And also every other Friday we do have the kids from South Shore Vaux Tech coming in as part of the internship and all that, so we're gonna team you up with them. You're gonna come in some
she'd
Friday.
Be fantastic.
You'd be great.
I can do a class on biophilic design.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, you didn't ask me what's the future, because I've been doing living walls.
Well, that was my next question, but go ahead, Jan. You take it. That's why you need your own radio show. Go ahead.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'm really pumped up about, living walls are here, but what are we going to do next? Couple things. I started looking, like I said, on the internet, Europe is like, you've heard of stalactites and stalagmites, are those hanging things that come in caves and they go up or they come off
yes,
the ceiling.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
up the
yeah.
So we're creating them in greenery. So it's like a living wall, but it's like a column. So we haven't done the hanging ones yet, but we've got National Grid is actually putting a column one up in the next 2 weeks, and we're doing a mock-up in our greenhouse testing it, which is going to look sick. So it's just basically a circular column that comes out of the floor of like,
how cool is
you
that?
Know, greenery. Yeah. So that's really gets me excited. And then the next thing is this something that could be a total homeowner thing that would people would love. And I'm launching our new living furniture line. Get it? Not furniture, furniture. Oh, yeah. I love those bad plant puns. They're so bad.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so we're going to incorporate plantings into furniture, into coffee tables, end tables, credenzas. You know, and I can send you some pictures of that.
Please.
To post on your page.
Yeah, yes. Do that. Do that. Yes. We want you listeners out there to see what Jan does. Hey, Jan.
So creative.
Before we let you go, can you just tell us about your company, the website, how people get in touch with you?
Okay. So my cell phone is... No, I'm not doing this. It's Cityscapes in Boston, and you can go on our website, www.bostoncityscapes.com, or call us at 617-451-1364. We have a lot of design executives that can help you. I'm still in the field helping people and designing really beautiful things. And actually, tell you the truth, Derek, I met a very wonderful owner of a landscape company in Chatham, and they're going to be coming up here for me to help them do some, you know, learn about interior scaping to bring it down to the Cape, as
Excellent.
Well as doing some living walls
nice.
Inside and out.
Nice.
Big, beautiful mansions in the Cape. So
beautiful.
Good for you, Jan.
Yeah. So well, it's exciting.
It is Lots exciting. You're exciting, Jan, because
yeah,
you are passionate.
You guys are-
Oh, thank
I think we should have her on. Every
no, you're coming
then,
back. You're going to be like a month.
Business is changing so damn.
Yeah, you're
going
to be like a monthly member here.
It
but
is. I'm going to have another idea by the time I talk to you again.
But you know
urban
what, Jan?
Farming.
I got to tell you, urban farming. We can't even talk about that today. We're going to talk about that next time because that's
time.
Huge. Next time.
Yes.
But Jan, you know what? You are doing absolutely what you're supposed to be doing. You are one of those.
She
people.
Has a passion for what she's.
Yes, you found it. You found it. And I just realized.
You know the first ad that I answered?
What's that?
It said, love plants, love people. I'm like, yes, yes. And I use still the same thing to hire people. And I was like, this is the team for you.
Yeah, that's
you. So if anybody needs a job, we're hiring.
There you
hiring,
go.
Hiring.
Boston Cityscapes.
Boston
check Cityscapes. Them out. And by the way, I'm checking out our studio here. Tony needs a plant.
He needs something.
Oh, Tony. I know. I see his face on my Skype.
Tony,
here, yeah.
You need a plan. Tony, so we're going to get
Tony's
Tony.
Tony's not happy.
Well, you know, he perked up when we mentioned marijuana plants.
Listen, we're going to get
a
nice.
Berkeley grad.
We are going to get a nice plant for Tony because that will clean up the air in this studio. He's going to be a happier person.
Yeah.
I do believe
I think
that.
He will. We'll have to measure how happy he is. How many smiles per hour.
All right, you're going to come back, right? You're coming back,
okay,
Jan.
Okay, I will come back.
Jan, you are
so
fantastic.
Fun.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank
All right,
you.
Thanks.
We'll talk
Take
to you
care.
Again.
Bye-bye.
She is...
Unbelievable.
She's one of a kind.
Unbelievable.
She's one of a kind.
You know what? I hope a lot of people listen to the show because... If you're branching out your business, landscape design and stuff, this is going to be huge.
Well,
and she's so knowledgeable.
She is.
There were so many questions I had.
Right.
But she wouldn't let me speak.
Well,
I couldn't get a word in edgewise.
Because she has so much content and so much knowledge and she wants to get it out there. But when she starts talking about the psychological connection to plants.
It really, we kid about that
stuff. It makes
stuff,
a lot of sense.
Doesn't it?
It makes a lot. Like, look at what we just did in the showroom, Nancy. Has been doing plants and incorporating plants into the stone showroom at PQ.
Yeah, but...
You know?
Yeah.
And it's making a difference.
Right.
It is making a difference. It makes a stone look better. It doesn't feel like everything's so heavy and stone and all that. You get to see the fact that there's greenery
there
in
are it. Huge benefits to plants. Like
Absolutely.
She brought out with
Absolutely.
The quality of your air and everything else. It's amazing.
Like, Tony needs a living wall right here.
Well, you're saying right there, and people are like, what, right where?
On the
I'm
brick
listening
wall.
To you on the radio.
On the
here.
Brick wall. He could have a living wall right there. I cut you off. What were you going to say?
No, he could have Jamaican, Hawaiian. What is the other, the different types of pot?
I don't know. That's not my world. We're going to get him a nice plant. We're getting Tony. And Tony's talking to us in our headsets here. There's so much to talk. You know what? Right now, I was talking to her the other day, and she's getting into urban farming. And I mentioned that a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching people in the city how to grow vegetables.
Your own food.
Yeah. and teaching the kids about this.
I think it's fantastic.
You and I grew up next to Papa's Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Papa's Garden was always produce. Every Sunday was on his table. Every night at dinner, there was something from that garden.
Right.
Even my dad's garden, where he grew up in Norwell on High Street, there mm-hmm. was always something. And that was their generation. That was their generation. Even Dorchester was full of gardens and front yards.
Yeah, I mean,
this
is going to be big because, number one, we're losing land.
Yeah.
Number two,
yep.
The benefits.
The benefits are unbelievable.
The benefits
and
of
the
growing
beauty of
your
it.
Own food. You know what you're putting into it.
Yep.
You know all the crap that we some of our food has put into
right.
it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it becomes like a I love people who have a passion.
I told you she had a passion.
She truly has a passion.
Yeah, and you always make the short jokes, but you know what the
no,
thing is?
No, well, you guys were taking the show over, and I figured that's the first
I
thing
I told
that came
you when she came on,
you
were
nice.
Going to be upset. I knew it. Because I know my place here with you.
No.
I know my place.
No, she's
awesome. Incredible. Yeah, she's incredible.
And you know what? We didn't get into it. She's built a hell of a business.
Oh, she's built a great
business.
She's
got like 70 employees.
She does. And she's also reaching out to the community, which I think we have a responsibility
yep.
when we have a company and a business. Anything that we're doing, we have to reach out to these trade schools. You know this. It's the same philosophy we all
right.
have. You have a
response. It's giving back.
It's giving back, and it's also getting the next generation caught up to the possibilities of what they can do. And that's one of our goals here at, you know, Under Your Roof and In Your Backyard with Dean and Derek. So listen, we're gonna sign off.
Why are you getting so, like, don't sign off like that. All
what?
Like, people will think, like, we have feelings.
Oh, yeah, okay. So let's sign off.
Let's just do, look, we'll
look.
Talk to you guys next time.
Maybe we'll talk to you, maybe we
and
won't.
And maybe you should tune in, because
yeah.
if you don't, you got problems.
We'll see you next time.
We're out.
Bye.